Hello, people, and guess what? Guess what, people, and guess what? We're back. Welcome to the Sports Scene Sports Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Ian Mackey, and my counterpart, my tag team partner, the Legion of Doom.
Arm is on.
All right, baby, man, we ain't been on in a while. You know, it's a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Stuff been going on in our lives, but hey, we're back at it. No more excuses. We're going to try to keep it coming to y'all on a regular basis. So, Vince, we have missed a lot of sports. I mean, we have been so far gone, but we're back. So let's start with the most recent news, the passing of Muhammad Ali. In the honorable words of Coming to America, I'm going to call him Clay. But Muhammad Ali passed away Friday, and our deepest condolences to the Ali family. We truly lost a great one, the greatest of all time. Me and Vince talked about this earlier today and the last couple of days about is Ali the greatest pound-for-pound boxer ever. But today we're just going to discuss just his greatness and what he meant to the community, to a lot of communities, not just the black community, but communities in general, and what he did for society altogether. When he stood up in a time where athletes didn't stand up. It was probably him, Jim Brown, Lou Alcindor, Hakeem Abdul-Jabbar, and him. Just a few athletes back then that really truly stood up for the rights of black people and just people in general. If one person is forsaken or put down, then we all are forsaken and put down. So we just want to pay homage to Muhammad Ali. Vince, what are your thoughts about Muhammad Ali, man?
Yeah, I think the same. I just think that, you know, like you said, just not only what he did in the boxing world, just what he did, you know, just for people in general. You know, he had a long career, 20-year career. I mean, he had 61 fights, but, you know, just what he did for black people, standing for what he believed in, you know, the Muslim community, just like you say, people in general. I just think he was one of the greatest, like, greatest men of all time, just not one of the greatest fighters or athletes. I just think he was one of the greatest men of all time.
Yeah, I think we don't give him enough credit when he said he wouldn't fight in the war because his religious beliefs said no violence. And now we look at Muslims today, not to say all Muslims, but some of the society has depicted Muslims as these violent creatures or these violent people, and they're not. They're just not violent at all. I mean, the Ali we know, when I found out about Muslims, yes, some Muslims are violent, just like some Christians are violent. And some, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses are violent. People are violent. It's human nature. Some people are violent, but there are great people within each religion. And I think we found one of the greatest where he was like, I don't want to fight. His quote, why I'm going to fight for y'all, but y'all don't even fight for me in my own country. I think that was probably one of the greatest lines I heard from Ali, because it was true at the time. We were segregated. Y'all don't care about us, so why should we go over there and fight more poor people of a different pigmentation than white? To kill them when y'all don't even fight for us in our own country. It's like my mom always say, take care of your house. Don't worry about nobody else's house. If you take care of home, then everything else will work itself out. And I think Ali was more trying to say, y'all should take care of home before y'all try to do anything else. So that's one of my truest feelings about Ali, man, that he really just changed the game when it comes to race and people in general, you know. But saying it's pound for pound, is he the greatest?
Pound for pound, is he the greatest? I mean, we really would never know, but, yeah, I mean, you know, people say he's the greatest, so I'm just going to roll with the crowd on this one. But we will never know because we'll never see him fight against other fighters in different eras, you know. You know, Holyfield, Mike Tyson, when he was on top, you know, we'd never see it. But as far as his era, yeah, he was one of the greatest fighters of all time. So, yeah, we can say he's the greatest. We'll give him that. What you think, though?
The era in boxing that Ali fought in was probably, to me, the greatest era in boxing history. Like, we'll never get an era where the top fighters are in their prime all around the same time. Like, the only other way I could depict Ali's era is when Magic versus Bird. like two players coming out at the same time at the peak of their powers, clashing multiple times in championships. Like, that's when you play the best of the best in the same era. Like, when you're the cream of the crop, like, he fought Frazier, he fought Liston, he fought George Foreman. He has fought a lot.
Only about Ken Norton.
Ken Norton, Ali has really fought some great fighters. Like, and I think that's one thing you can't say about Floyd Mayweather or Roy Jones Jr. because, and then he missed 3 years of his prime because he didn't want to. He didn't want to fight in people's war. Like, that's the craziest thing, that he missed 3 years of his prime and still was the greatest fighter of all time. You can't say Floyd missed 3 years or Roy missed 3 years of their prime and still be considered the greatest fighter. And then come back and still fight Frazier and still fight George Foreman and win. Like, you just, like, there will never be an era like that in boxing again. I wish it was. I wish boxing, because you got MMA now, boxing has changed. But one thing you can't credit Ali on was that his swagger. He never backed down. He never wavered in his ability. And he said he was great ahead of time, before he was even great. And that was the biggest thing about him. Like, now a lot of boxers or wrestlers, they've taken Ali's type of style of swagger before matches and preparing, and Floyd Mayweather, all taking his, he started, he was the cornerstone of that, and they've taken it and ran with it. But he was the originator. Like, when the Sugar Hill Gang is the originator of they say, of rap, you know what I'm saying? Motel, Hotel, Holiday, and say what? Like, that song, like, people equate that to the beginning of hip-hop. But the true hip-hop historians don't, but the mainstream picks that as the start date of hip-hop. So Ali really started that brash, I'm the man, I'm so pretty, I'm a bad man. Now everybody uses that. Now everybody tries to get that persona, that swagger out, and he started it.
Yeah, he was the originator of the swag. I give him that. But, you know, like you said, he did just so much more than just that swag. You know, like you said, he helped people out. He was there for, you know, he was champion of the people, though. And I think, you know, going back, you know, looking on his fights, if you just look at his fights, you're not looking at the whole person, you might not get all of him. He was, you know, he was just a great person. You know, I can look at his fights and look at his record. He won 61 fights. 56 wins, 5 losses. That's over 20-year span. That's a lot of fights too, though. You know, they say he had a lot of hits to the head. Well, 61 fights, I can imagine. So, you know that will come back on him some kind of way. But you gotta look at it. He's just a great man, though. One of the great.
Yeah. I mean, it's what propels people in life, and it's not so much what happened. Athletes between the lines or between the ropes or on the court, off the court. It's also what type of person you are. And you've seen that. And he was young. Ali wasn't like 30 when he said he wasn't going to fight in war or when he said he was great. He was in his mid-20s. And to take a stand like that, knowing you're going to lose money. Like, a lot of times we go through things in life and we probably don't say nothing because we may lose money. Like, he really lost millions of dollars for those 3 years. Like, a lot of us today probably wouldn't take that stand because of our religion. Like, I work on Sunday at the post office. Like, if y'all don't know, my listeners, I'm a postal carrier. Well, every other Sunday, since I'm not a regular yet, I have to work a Sunday. Well, I like going to church. I go to choir rehearsal on Wednesdays, and I do all these different things. Well, on the Sundays I have to work, I work. Like, I want to be like, no, my God, my religion, no. And because of I need the money, I have to work Sunday. So, for his religious beliefs, and it has nothing to do with war. I'm not comparing myself to Ali by no stance, by no means. It's just, you could just tell that he cared that much. And I really, truly care about my favorites. about killing people, and I'm not built for war either in the draft or whatnot. And I commend all those who serve, who's fought, who's been over there, who served this country. I salute you all because that's to take lives or to put your life on the line for us. I truly commend it. But for him to say no and to truly mean it and stand by it and be willing to go to jail for 10 years, like that was the thing. Like if he lost, he had to be 10 years. So for him to do all that, man, you have to just say what type of man he was. A great man. But you can be cocky. You can have an alter ego. And I think probably the swagger, when he was getting ready for fights, he had to turn that on. But when he didn't fight and he was just in the community, he was just a great person all the way around. And you've seen that. And I guess we didn't get a chance to appreciate him when he could talk or when he was brash. Like the world, this country didn't take that in and embrace him. And it's hard, like, could you imagine a black Muslim standing like Ali did in this current era of Trump saying Muslims are bad and that, and with Iraq and Afghanistan, all that going on, and a black athlete taking a stand against, fighting against war, how that would play out there?
Nah, not in this day and age, you know, just because, like you said, people don't want to lose money. People don't want to stand up like Ali and, like you said, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, Jim Brown. Nobody wants to stand up like that. Everybody want to be politically correct. And see, Ali, he stood up for what he believed in. You know, you just don't get players like that, you know. You know, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, LeBron, you never hear them talk about political issues, you know. Ali brought that to a forefront, you know. He had a microphone in his face, so he said what he wanted to say. And like you said, I commend him for that because you had these athletes these days, they're scared to say something, you know, scared they're going to lose endorsement deals. So it's all about the money now.
It's all about the money. It's just amazing that, like, even, like, fighters today, like, I know Floyd wants to be like Muhammad Ali or Tyson one, but Can you name me? Does any other fighter have like a fight called the Thriller in Manila? Like no one has a memorable fight for the George the Rope a Dope against, like, he started an era. Like he has like key fights that people remember. Like you say, the Rope a Dope, people know that came from Ali, or the Thriller in Manila, that was between him and Joe Frazier. Like I wasn't even alive then, wasn't even around yet. And when I got old enough and I learned about boxing, those are some of the key fights that people always bring out. But a lot of people, and I had to look up this last night, and I watched the Ken Norton fight, both fights, the one in 76 and the, I think it was one in maybe 72, 73, that where Ali won in 12, and the one in 73, he won in 12. And then the other one he won in 15, in 76. So 73, three-year span. But, and that was their third meeting. That was their third meeting. Like, they had fought three times. It's just crazy that he had some big fights and that, yo, and he fought the best. I mean, some of us, we see fights where somebody fights Butterbean. No disrespect to Butterbean because he would whoop my butt. Or Tommy Gunn, but to those type of fights, like they've always, he may have some fights in between that weren't all that great, just so he can get cash out. But you can't tell me that fighting Joe Frazier, Ken Norton, George Foreman, that he didn't have no epic, Sonny Liston, that he didn't have no epic fight.
He had plenty of it.
And don't forget about Floyd Patterson. Don't forget about Floyd Patterson.
Yeah, you're right. Floyd Patterson was a beast in his day.
So to fight, so when I say the greatest era of boxing, like when you have to go down his list of fights, well, you're like, man, like that era was strong. Like, we'll never see that era. But like the Klitschko brothers won't even fight each other. Like, it just amazes me that we grew up in an era where now we can flourish because of the things he's done, things he did, things he's done, that the black community, black athletes can flourish because they took stride. That whole movement back then, between the 60s and 70s and the ABA, the NBA, Dr. J, that there's an MJ, that there's a LeBron, a Kobe, that they took the low pay-per-views, that the money wasn't around back then, but Ali would probably get $100 million today if he fought in this era, that we're not appreciative. I think that we as a culture, we as a people, we as a whole are not appreciative of what those athletes and that Ali did back then. And you got to also think, a lot of times these days, they try to separate politics and sports. Like, if you're an athlete and you talk about politics, it's like, yo, stick to basketball, you know. But a politician can talk about basketball or can talk about sports, but an athlete today can't truly talk about anything else but basketball, because if they do say something, people will say, stick to what you know. Like basketball, that they're uneducated, that's all they know. Back then, Ali was a part, he had his hand in just not just boxing, but being an activist, being religious, being a man of faith and family. And I think we don't value that now more than we value Kardashians and reality TV and the housewives and not family and what's important.
That's all true, man. I just, you know, like you said, we just to reiterate what you're saying, you know, our values and his values now are so far apart from each other, you know, just like what he stood for and what's now the thing to do is reality TV. It's like all this politically correct, it just took over, you know. We just don't value, you know, just our people anymore. We just, you know, living for the moment, you know. But you can only say so. I mean, we can talk about Muhammad Ali all day, man. I mean, we can find like so much to talk about with him. But I just say, like you said, he's just a great person. He was a great boxer, you know.
Yeah, we just want to pay homage, man. There's not enough time to talk about Ali all day. There's not enough time in the day to talk about what this man does. Vance, we got to talk about these NBA finals, man. We didn't get a chance to make our predictions for the playoffs. We was on a little hiatus, a little backdrop, but we're here now, man. NBA finals. Cavs, Golden State. Man, I thought this, man, we talked about this on the phone. We was like, we got to get the show back going. We got to talk about the finals. And I told you, Warriors and six. You told me Cavs and seven. Man, what Cavaliers that we thought was going to go seven? I wanted the Cavs to win. My heart was there for the Cavs, but my mind and my basketball knowledge said, nope, they ain't going to show up. Something's going to happen after the Warriors were down from 3-1 to the Thunder and came back 1. The Thunder really let me down. But no, the best team won. Warriors dominating the Cavs. I don't want to talk about game 2. Game 2 was just a master. I knew it was going to happen. I told my friends it was going to happen, and it happened. Vince, what's wrong with the Cavs, man?
I mean, we talking about the finals. If you consider this a finals, I think the OKC Golden State was, you know, the true finals, because, like you say, the Cavs not showing up, man. I mean, I don't know what to say, man. The Cavs look like, you know, they just there. They on the court, but they not playing well. I mean, it seems like LeBron trying to do, you know, he's not doing too much, but, you know, he trying to put it on his shoulders and everybody else just watching. I mean, I just don't understand how, you know, they coming out playing. J.R. Smith, he's not even there. You look at the last game, he was 2-for-6. I mean, J.R. Smith taking just 6 shots in the game. You know, and then you just got to look at it. What you finna say?
To me, it's a failure to detail and focus on defense. It's when you've been lazy all season and on the defensive end, period, on your switches, you can't be lazy against or allow yourself to sleep against the Warriors, because they will kill you. If one slight, you got to be on point at all times with this team. And I've seen lapses in film and different things, and people have sent me videos, and I've seen lapses by J.R. Smith not pumping Kyrie or losing Clay or getting hit in the face, man, you gotta suck it up. I know it hurts. You gotta suck it up. You gotta make it happen. Or Kyrie, like we keep, man, Kyrie, I saw hustle in him with against Raptors. I don't see the same hustle or fire in him in this series. Like I just don't see it. It's a make or miss lead. And right now, they're missing. Like game one, Kyrie was 7 for 22. LeBron was 9 for 21. Kevin Love was probably one of the most efficient ones. He was 7 for 17. But still, 17 shots, 17 points, that don't add up to me.
Well, I mean, you can go and say that by game, too. You look at the stat, LeBron, 7 for 17. Kevin Love, even though he got hurt, 2 for 7. Kyrie, 5 for 14. I mean, come on, man. What are the points coming from? I mean, that was your main three players. LeBron had 19. Kevin Love had 5, even though he didn't play the whole game.
Shannon Fry
can't stay on the court because he can't play defense.
Maybe my true essence of basketball, even when you play pickleball, you at least try on defense. At least show some heart, some effort. If they say you can't play defense, man, pull them on. Give me a little something. Give me a little something. Man, you at least got to leave him out there. Let him see what he can do. But this Cavs team has truly let me down. Like, I thought this was going to be a knockout, slobber knocker, fight to the finish. And all I've seen is a couple of triples at a Young Jeezy concert in 2014. They getting out there.
After the first quarter, though, with the game is over. It seemed like these last by halftime,
man.
You already know. You might well change to your favorite show, Game of Thrones. Because
man,
the
Warriors
is over.
Nelly and the Cavs are the tip drill video right now. And right now, Nelly is having his way with the whole tip drill. You remember Uncut? Everybody get excited to watch Uncut at Night. Man, I'd rather watch that than watch this Cavs series right now.
But you know, you got okay. The Warriors did what they supposed to do. They won the first two games at home, and then you know they finna go back to Cleveland tonight for game three.
You know the last
Cleveland
team that won the first two games at home. You want to know the last team that won the first two games at home?
Who's
the
last team
against Orlando? You know when they won that series? Lakers won that series in 5. You know what's gonna happen? Warriors in 5.
You think
like,
Warriors in 5? I mean, you right now,
I want to say sweep at this point, but I'm trying to put some, as Birdman would say, put some respect on the Cavs name, or at least on LeBron, and he can give me a game.
It just don't look like it right now, but like I said, man, game 3 tonight, man. This nut cut time. If they don't show up tonight, you might well go on and get them, pack them up in my ball. Go on and pack the uniforms up. At least,
man.
And I'm not talking about just a win. They need a definitive win. They need to blow Golden State out. They need to show that they're here to play too. Because if they don't, it's over.
Night night.
If they win by 2 or 3 points, and Golden State feel like they should have won, it's over with. You got to put some kind of, you got to punch them back in the mouth. Put some kind of fear in their heart because they haven't been playing with it.
No, no, And if this ends bad, you got to get rid of Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving in the offseason. One of the two got to go. To me, I think Kyrie, I don't know what's wrong with him. Maybe it's the Kalani thing. I don't know. Maybe she's texting him right now, telling her she wants him back. And he's like, I don't know. And it's messing up his finals run. I don't know. He needs to tell me something. But we got to figure out what's wrong. I mean, we know what's wrong with Kevin Love. He just don't fit. He just don't fit. That's just the nature of that. Kevin Love don't fit. I don't know what type of value you get for him in off season because that contract is like a max player contract. And you send him to Boston, and what you get? Boston ain't going to give you Brooklyn pick. I hope not. Maybe. But do you take Brooklyn pick and maybe get Ben Simmons or somebody like that or Brandon Ingram or Chris Dunn. I don't know, but you need to figure it out.
First of all, Boston
LeBron only got
Kevin Love. And then, like you said, yeah, somebody got to go, but it's not going to be Kyrie. like you said, Kevin Love is the man out on this team. But not only Kevin Love, they need to do something with their bench, man. They don't have any bench production.
And you know how much I like Tristan Thompson. And he fits in the regular season. But you may have to let him ride in offseason, too.
Yeah, and look at that big contract they gave Tristan Thompson. I was one of the people who saying don't give Tristan Thompson all that money because he wasn't worth it. But everybody was saying
I thought it was a good deal when the new collective bargaining kicked in. I thought it was because he would probably get more money after this new collective bargaining. But it's a good deal for what they had. He fits them, but they got to put a shooter next to him. Like, he rebounds, he plays defense, he's good on switching pick and rolls. But at the same time, you got to put shooters who are able to score. Like Kevin Love, like imagine Tristan Thompson playing next to LaMarcus Aldridge in Portland. LaMarcus Aldridge wouldn't have to get physical. He wouldn't have to play the five so much. Even though Tristan Thompson is smaller, 6'9", 6'10", he would rebound. LaMarcus don't have to worry about pounding those big guys out west. Paul and all that.
See which one you rather take. This year, who would you rather take, Tristan Thompson or Bismack Biyombo?
Tristan Thompson.
No way, man. Bismack Biyombo playoffs are the one that count. Regular season, it counts, you know, a little bit, but when the playoffs come,
they made it to the finals. They made it to the finals.
Yeah, they made it to the finals in the weak Eastern Conference.
I mean, but I hate that. I hate that. I hate that altogether. Weak Eastern Conference. At one point when Jordan was dominating, they said it was a weak Western Conference. It just goes in cycles. That's just the nature of conference.
And they say the Western Conference was weak. But they didn't have Jordan over there. They didn't have the Bulls over there. Bulls dominated everybody. Not only the Eastern Conference, but the Western Conference too. They dominate both conferences.
But you got to take it back to GM. And I don't think it has nothing to do. I think it's been bad GMs in the East, bad decision making. Everybody going on this tank. Tank for Williams, or tank for suck for Kyrie or whatever, or suck for Jahlil Okafor or Karl Towns. But all this tanking has really just hurt these conferences. Instead of just trying to compete against the Miami Heat or the Cavaliers with LeBron on them. It's just really been ebbs and flows. That's all it is. Because you got to think, at one point in the Eastern Conference, it was the Celtics, Bulls, and Miami. But since LeBron keep going to the finals, now the East is weak. No, at one point, remember, the Pacers were challenging the Miami Heat and taking them to 7 games or whatnot. But since LeBron keep going to the finals, now the East is weak. No, the East ain't weak. The man's just that dang on great. Can we just acknowledge how great LeBron James is? And I'm not I'm not a LeBron James fan. I'm not a stan. I admire greatness. I think Steph Curry is great. I think Klay Thompson is great. I think Draymond Green fits in that system. But
do I think Draymond Green
to go to Detroit or to Philadelphia and do what he does now?
No way.
No, because he got floor spaces. But I admire his greatness for that team that he's on. And that's all. You got to just admire LeBron's greatness. It's the East a little weak, but guess what? So is the West at one point. It'll go in cycles. Players are about to retire. Players are getting older. People don't stay great for forever. At one point, the Washington Wizards were going to challenge the Cavaliers. Remember they had Larry Hughes, Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler, all them. They were going toe-to-toe with LeBron and the young Cavs. And all them. See, it just goes.
They
like
just outlast them, though. They outlast them. The players got hurt on the Wizards team. Players got traded away. Some people didn't show up. Jameson started playing back.
At any moment, injuries or shift, something can happen in any conference to make that conference better. We just got to stick throughout. We just got to stick it out. I don't want to see no playoffs, the best 16 teams in the NBA. That sounds nice. But that's what the Eastern Conference and Western Conference are for. Just the All-Star game is for. So if we're going to cut out the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, we might as well say the best 24 players in the NBA get to go to the All-Star game. That's not how this works. We can't do it to make it just benefit you. We just can't make the benefit
the people or the records right now. And to be honest, if you look at record-wise, the Eastern Conference was just as good as the West this year. I mean, not top to bottom, but the top eight and the top eight record-wise, they weren't that far apart.
Look how easy the Cavs went through the Eastern Conference.
Look how they went through the East. We're talking about records, isn't it? Yeah, well, we knew they were going to be the best team overall. We just didn't know what they were going to do throughout.
Look how they playing now, though. I mean, it's a difference. It's a difference. But like I said, if the Cavs had a bench, I think this game, the bench players are killing the Cavs. That's just all only person really playing for the Cavs off the bench really is Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson's playing decent.
This is a make or miss league. Either you're making your shots or you're missing them. And plus, we all know the rules of basketball. If you watch NBA enough, it has a thing to do with comfort. Why do bench players play better at home? Well, they're in their own bed. They got their own wife. They're in their own food. They know where to go. It's a comfort level with staying at your house than staying at a hotel. It's just a comfort. It's a comforting feeling. So, when both players go on the road, why do they play bad? Well, in a hotel. They ain't got their wife at home. They got a side chick or a mistress out there, or they just lonely,
but,
and they
nice.
Whooping off. Or they roughing themselves up, as you would call it.
Roughing up the suspect.
But the Cavs home players, they're going to be at home tomorrow. They should play better. They're in their own beds. They're driving their own way to the game. They should be able to play better. LeBron should be able to give us a classic game. Kyrie should play well. Kevin Love, hopefully, the whistles will go a little bit more the Cavs way, because a lot of times in the last two games, the Warriors have been very physical. And I mean very physical. I mean he hits them side the head. That ain't being reviewed. They ain't being turned to flagrant. It's just, even though it was inadvertent, when they say inadvertent kiss to the head, it's still a flagrant. You still have to make those calls.
Yeah, the Warriors have been getting away with a lot of calls. The Cavs hadn't been getting calls. The traveling calls. The calls on LeBron, where he may have traveled one or two times, but normally, you know, NBA, man, you can take four steps anytime. Klay Thompson came. They called travel on LeBron. Klay Thompson came right back, traveled. They blew the whistle. Like you say, a lot of physical play, hits in the head, hadn't been reviewed. But really and truly, man, you can say all that. We can say all that. But the Warriors are just really outplaying them. They just outplaying them. Draymond Green had a terrific game. The game, too, 28 points. I mean, you know, I'm not a Draymond Green fan, but, hey, he played good, you know. He hit 5
played
good.
You got to give a man props where props
yeah.
is due.
Yeah, he hit 5 threes. Who expected Draymond Green to hit 5 threes? And that step back with the man in his face,
not even,
3-point.
Not even his mama.
To see. No, not even his mama, man. She can't even lie and say that. Played good, man. Stephen Curry was sitting on the bench, man, enjoying the game like he was in the stands. He didn't have to play.
Showed it.
And by halftime came, the game was over with.
Oh, night-night.
So, this is the deal. What are the Cavs going to do for game three?
Just show up.
Who's
going to
show
up and play hard. That's all you need to do. Show up and play hard. If you show up and play hard, anything's possible. Just show up and play hard. Let it come where it may, but I just want you to see show up and play hard. If you show up and play hard, I'll be happy. Show up and play hard.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to do it, though. Show up and play hard, I just don't think right
that's
now.
All, that's all
know,
I ask.
I'm rooting for
let everything else find its way. Show up and play hard. If you give me show up and play hard, we can make it work. Just show up and play hard.
I mean, you just got to look how they're playing LeBron. LeBron comes to the lane, 3 people in his face. He kicked the ball out to somebody, anybody for a shot. Either they missing or they passing the shot up. I mean, you got Villanova, you know he can't shoot. Shumpert, he has no jumper. You know, Shannon Frye, he can't stay on the floor because he don't play any defense. And that's your bitch right
man,
there.
All I say is show up and play hard and everything else will work its way out. But, hey, great show. We'll discuss
we
it Thursday,
see.
Man. Thursday. Next show, guys. Sorry for the inconvenience. Sorry for the wait. But we back. we will be discussing the Olympics also later on. But when that time comes about all the other countries playing, who's going to be playing for Canada and all that, we're going to give it all to you the whole summer. Sports
feed. The draft.
Vance, and the draft. Vance, tell them what's up.
And hopefully we can stay with y'all this time and we can roll through all the way through every Tuesday and Thursdays. Just like we said the first time. So until then, we'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Peace out, y'all.